Climate change is a controversial topic, as you know, but research monies are currently available to study it. Today, we want to discuss one study that could be done to show how hydropodology can contribute to identifying where climate change impacts may occur on the landscape. That is, map out those areas that will be affected by climate change. Now, this is a study we plan to do. It is not completed work, and so the presentation is being made in order to get comments and feedback from you. Many climate change predictions are made regionally, covering large portions of the Earth. Such data, though, I think, are confusing because they fail to show individual landowners how climate change might impact them. I think hydropodology can help this, help the individual landowners see where climate change impacts will occur by portraying them on maps at large scales, 1 to 24,000 county scales, soil survey scales, in other words. I'm going to be looking at climate change impacts or potential impacts in the coastal plain area of North Carolina, and basically wondering, trying to answer the question, will climate change impacts be felt here in Pitt County, North Carolina? I'm going to try to review or answer four questions for you. If climate change occurs, what land uses are likely to be affected? Two, what impact could climate change have on soils? Three, how do we study it? And four, how much land area is likely to be affected at scales in Pitt County, North Carolina? Well, I'm going to be looking at subdivisions or non-agricultural land uses, and you'll note that each of these houses has a septic system. You can't see it, but take my word for it, and is outside a wetland. The land would be broken out like this, and the uses, wetland or septic systems, are the two uses I'll focus on. These are mutually exclusive. If you're in a wetland, you are not, no homes can be built, you're unsuited for a septic system. If you have a house and are suitable for a septic system, you are outside of a wetland. So the two uses are mutually exclusive. In addition, both uses can be defined, in a sense, by water table levels. In other words, if I'm given a water table data, I can tell you whether you're likely in a wetland or the soil is suited for a septic system. Here are some of the criteria that we could use. For the wetland, for example, wetland hydrology requires that the water table be within 30 centimeters of the surface for 14 days or more per year during the growing season, and this must occur in half the years or more. Similar criteria could be given for conventional septic systems and alternative systems as well. Now, with this criteria, we can interpret long-term records of water table data to determine if a site is wetland or is suited for septic. We've done that here with a 40-year record of water table data. We've interpreted the water table data to show the days or the number of days that wetland hydrology conditions are met. And it's done from 1959 to 1999. And this red line is just the minimum period of 14 days needed to meet wetland hydrology. Well, you can see, although this is a long-term data set, you can see from it very quickly that there's only 1 year when wetland hydrology conditions were not met. And so this area is in a wetland and would be unsuitable for septic. Okay, what impact will climate change have on soils and land use? Well, I do not know. That's why we want to do a study. But I'm going to assume today that climate change will affect seasonal high water tables. And I'll be looking at catenas as shown here. I've broken the catena into drainage classes, and I want to focus on the red line, which is the boundary between the poorly drained and the somewhat poorly drained soils. These soils are going to be suited for home sites because you can put a septic system in them down to this line. And beyond the line, we're in a wetland. And so I want to see how this boundary is going to be changed or impacted by climate change. It might be easier to visualize with this block diagram. It's the same as the catena. This is a typical coastal plain landscape. This would be the inner stream divide. I've got my poorly drained soils here, my somewhat poorly drained here, and moderately well over here. The line separates wetlands from homes suited for septic. And you can see we've got one home here on our somewhat poorly drained land. This is for 2010. If we go to 2050 and see that and assume that the soils wet up, we don't know what they're going to do, could dry down, but let's say they wet up, then it's this zone where this is the area that has changed. So the poorly drained soils have expanded into the upland, and so now the somewhat poorly drained soils are poorly drained. This is the zone we want to focus on. This is the zone that's changed, and we want to make maps portraying where it occurs. This is where septic systems will begin to fail and public health outbreaks will occur. Well, how do we study something like this? When you're talking about predicting future water table levels, or even current ones, you have to use hydrologic modeling. We follow a four-step approach at NC State. All the data are collected around a well, and all the information pertains to a soil with the well in it. But first step is to calibrate a hydrologic model at the well to predict water table levels from rainfall and temperature. In other words, if I plug in rainfall and temperature data, the model will compute a water table level. When I have that calibrated model, I can input 40 years of data and compute 40 years of daily water table levels using this predicted values for rainfall and temperature. Now that's a lot of data, but I can boil it down by estimating these saturation parameters that I just referred to before for wetlands and for septic systems. And once I have that information, I can tell whether a given site is becoming a wetland or is still suitable for septic, should it be wetting up. Now, it's important to note that all the information that you will predict with the model is going to be based around wells, and so the information pertains to the soils that have the wells installed in them. There are several hydrologic models available for this. We'll be using DrainMod. It computes water table levels over time and essentially gives you the same information that you would get from a well. It was developed for the flat coastal plain landscapes, and it was originally developed, believe it or not, to install drainage systems in wetlands or in agricultural fields. The landscape, as DrainMod sees it, is shown here. The water table builds up over a restrictive layer or a clay layer in the coastal plain. It's dome-shaped. In between two drainage ditches or drain lines. The data that the model generates is at the point midway between your drains, which is still very useful. It may look odd, but you do need drains in the landscape or in the model. They don't have to be real, they can be virtual, and you simply adjust drain spacing and depth to give you the drainage rate that you need to perform your calibration. Here's some data from DrainMod that we've collected in an organic soil in one particular wetland. I've got depth of the water table on the y-axis, two-year time period on the x. The blue line is the measured, the red the simulated. And you can see after the model was calibrated, we have a pretty good match between measured and simulated, particularly in the wet periods where we will be most interested. In fact, the average absolute difference is only 4 centimeters between measured and simulated over this two-year time period. Now, once we have the calibrated model, we input data for predicted values for temperature and rainfall. And such predictions are made or available now for three different emission scenarios. Here's the information from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The data are for Greenville, North Carolina, which is in Pitt County. It is for the month of July, I believe. It's mean daily rainfall intensity for the three different emission scenarios, polluted, not so polluted, and pretty clean. And so we would take this information, plug it into our model after we reduce it to appropriate data sets, convert it to an appropriate data set, and then make our predictions of water table levels. Well, how much land area is likely to be affected in Pitt County? The problem that needs to be resolved and where we could use your help is taking data collected from an individual landscape like this and then extrapolating it countywide. We can use GIS techniques, which we will try, and we can also use the very bare-bones soil survey approach. And I'm going to discuss the soil survey approach now because I don't have time for the other and don't fully understand it either. One of the problems using the soil survey is that there are 46 mapping units in Pitt County, and so we have to break those down into categories that can be studied and extrapolated across. I've done that here, and I've taken the 46 and have created three soil categories, sandy, loamy, and clay. This was done very simply using the lowest KSAT values for each soil or mapping unit that are reported in the soil survey. You can see for the loamy, we've lumped the fine loamy, and fine silty categories together. Even included mixed and siliceous, believe it or not. That's the way it turned out. And this grouping occupies about 56% of the land area. And we can do it for the other two as well. Once you have those groupings, then you have to put in wells and collect your data to calibrate your models. This is one design that we might use for Pitt County. And we would take the, in the case of the loamy soils, we would have to move around the county trying to study or instrument sites in those three particle size classes and two mineralogy classes. And hopefully, the models will be similar across all these groups. And if they're not, we're going to have to do more studying and come up with new techniques to do the extrapolation. Well, we don't have data for the predictions. We can show you what a predicted set may look like. I've got two soil units here, soil one and soil two. One is poorly drained and then somewhat poorly drained for two. The yellow area shows the current conditions, and this is real data. We estimated that the poorly drained site met wetland hydrology conditions in 95% of the years, whereas a somewhat poorly drained met them in only 5% of the years. Now, if we look at hypothetical predictions, this is what we might find. If the land wets up, the poorly drained soils would become very poorly drained in all likelihood, but meet wetland hydrology criteria in every year. Most important is that this somewhat poorly drained category would meet wetland hydrology conditions in this hypothetical example for 60% of the years, meaning it has become wetland, it's wetted up. And so this is what we want to identify on the map. It has become a poorly drained soil. We've done that here, and again, these are hypothetical results, but what we might see in 2050. We're not interested in identifying, it won't require, I should say, redrawing the map entirely. But the yellow area, are those soils still suitable for septic systems? The pink, potential wetland areas. And the green are these areas that have wetted up, somewhat poorly drained soils, that where public health impacts, disease outbreaks may actually occur. We don't know that every point in the green area, of course, will have a septic system, but it doesn't matter. This just alerts your county planners to the areas where hazards may develop in time. You can even extrapolate the information to subdivision scale. This would be the condition in 2010 where we have the wetland versus the residential boundary. But by 2050, if the land area wets up, then what we want to see is where these houses are in Pitt County that could have failing septic systems or other problems by 2050. It is this area that we want to portray on the map and give that information to our county planners. Well, I think the maps would be useful. In fact, we're trying to get, we're doing user surveys right now to see if the planners would like them, and so far the information is positive. Mr. Rhodes from Pitt County says yes, he would use this information to update the county's comprehensive land use plan. Believe it or not, we also have a positive response from the Centers for Disease Control. Okay, in summary, hydropodology, I think, is well positioned to estimate climate change impacts affecting wetlands and public health. I think we have to take advantage of the public health angle in things like this, because if we have disease outbreaks, that's going to get citizens' attention and also the attention of government leaders. Nobody wants their kid dying of polio, typhus, or cholera. Horrible, horrible things. So we've got to use that to our advantage. Now, issues needing resolution. We've put in five grant proposals. All five have been rejected for one reason or another. The last time, we got comments from hydrologists who said soils cannot be used to extrapolate model data. And so we'll have to do a better job in trying to convince them. In addition, the granting agencies want inputs not just from soil scientists, but from economists, sociologists, and ecologists. And these people will have to be brought in on teams studying this kind of a problem. Well, that concludes my presentation. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer any questions, if there's time.
Well, we do have 1 minute for questions. You're doing very well with time. Thank you. maybe I can ask you a question. In 40 years time difference in terms of climate change, what about land? The topography might be altered completely by human management of the land. Do you think that might be something else that you should also take into account?
Well, it might be. I don't know that topography will be altered that much in Pitt County. It's possible, but I can't imagine a use right now where alteration would occur. It's pretty much a rapidly developing county, and so I think in 50 years it may look quite similar now with maybe twice the population size, more roads, things of that nature.